and welcome back to the Not So Fit Couple podcast with your hosts, Lucy Davis
and Benjamin Halden. So on today's episode, we've got a different setup again. If you're watching on YouTube, you'll be able to see that. We've got a very, very, very special guest on today's episode with in the form of Mr. Roberto Lipsett. Anyone who doesn't know Rob Lipsett, you must have been living underneath a rock. If you search his name on YouTube, you'll be able to see thousands of videos that he produced over the years. He's one of the OGs of social media and YouTube and fitness.
Yeah,
I would say.
He is absolutely one of the most positive people you will ever listen to and watch on YouTube and things like that. And it'll change your life, yeah. This podcast.
I think if you're having a shit day, put this podcast on repeat, because you will not come out of it from listening to this podcast without a smile on your face or about having a laugh.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing we just want to quickly mention before we dive into the podcast is that we are still currently running the podcast competition for the YouTube channel. So if you're listening to this on Spotify or iTunes, please make sure if you want to enter the competition and be in with a chance of winning that you head over onto the YouTube channel. Make sure that you subscribe, leave a comment and some feedback on one of the videos for April to be in with a chance to win
a My Coach School bundle. So the new barbell pads, bands, you're going to get a Gymshark voucher, a huge My Protein bundle. You're also going to get loads of kit from Strength Shop and then access for 3 months for free to the My Coach School app when it launches.
Indeed. So I hope you enjoy this one, guys. And yeah, sit back and enjoy.
Enjoy.
I think one thing we'll have to be, we'll kick off straight away now anyway, but one thing we'll have to be careful of today is the mix of my semi-Scouse accent and your very much Irish accent.
Because we'll probably
have to put subtitles on.
Yeah, American listeners are done. Like they can just log off now.
That's the thing I get all the time, is a lot of American listeners think I'm actually Irish. So I think people often mix up the two.
They've said to you so many times, like, is Ben foreign? I'm like, he's not like Spanish or something.
I think it's because I speak very quick.
And yeah, you do speak fast.
It's a slight twinge, but you've shown up today, mate, and not disappointed. They've got that fresh fade going on, locked in.
Yeah, so I get fresh fade every Friday. It's called Fresh Fade Friday. Men, self-care. I get a pedicure like every second week. I'm telling you, stay tidy. You'll work so much better. So you're not getting peak fadeness, I'll be honest. If we did this now on Friday, you'd be getting a razor sharp fade. But it's still presentable.
100%. Yeah. If you're any sharper, mate, you'd be a square. That's all I'm going to say.
So. Now, that's a haircut you can set your watch to.
But there's a couple of things we just wanted to dive into about you first, mate, before we jump into the juicy stuff. Because I know you've got a few things going on currently at the moment, haven't you, with the launch of your new app. You've got Fuel. I think there's Fuel Cakes, which has been kicking off. And you've been smashing those out as well. Mm-hmm. So how have you been getting on with all this through lockdown in regards to pumping everything out and churning out new business content and ideas?
Yeah, so I'm the type of person that's like, all right, you know, I always think outside the box. So I'm like, okay, I'm not going to just start one business during the pandemic. I'm going to start two. You know? So I do go against the grain. And, you know, when people are kind of playing it safe, that's when I believe it's time to do the opposite. And even if you're looking at like investing in stocks or anything, you buy when stocks are down, you know, so you buy the dip. So when things are going wrong, you know, and everything's on the downhill, that's when I kind of decide to come alive a little bit. So with Fuel Cakes, that was the first ever viral video I had on my YouTube channel, was how to make protein pancakes. People are still tagging me in that original recipe. It's about 6 years old now. And so it became an ongoing thing on my channel, like protein pancakes, just like even when I was prepping or in full day of eating, so I'd always have protein pancakes. I'm like, I'm going to cut out the middleman and I'm just going to make my own protein pancake company. And that's just been blowing up the last couple of months. And it's just a lot of fun as well. Like, I made the box like 1950s cereal box.
And, yeah, it looks good. You know,
it looks great.
Yeah, yeah. And so I've just been having a bit of fun with that. And then Game Plan is just kind of like my original Lipsett Fitness app. You know, you have your weight tracker, your weight training, macros, all that. I oversee everything. I talk to each member. You know, I do it all hands-on as much as possible. But the reason I rebranded that is because I want to create something bigger than me. So Lipsett Fitness is my name in it, okay? one day Rob Lips is probably going to be cancelled, okay? I might get cancelled on this episode. Who knows what I'll say, right? So I want to make something that's bigger than me. And I saw the username Game Plan wasn't taken, and I've written a book called The Game Plan. Yeah. So I was like, I'm going to make a continuation of that. And like, I'm like, whoa, how is that name not taken? That sounds like Under Armour. You know,
like
that's
Game Plan, the Rock. Yeah.
I know. I was like, what? And so that launched last week, and I'm really happy with that. And I want to like make that a full brand as well. Like, you know, maybe make some lifting equipment to go with it, some trackies or something. We'll see. But yeah, so they're my two main projects that I've been working on the last while.
Yeah, I think it's a good time to be able to do shit like that, especially when everyone else is kind of like almost not plateaued, but they're taking some downtime away from stuff. And obviously everyone's kind of been disheartened by the whole pandemic that's been going on. So using that time effectively to be able to pump it back into yourself and better yourself and better your business is obviously a great thing to be able to do. I think the whole idea of the brand name being called Game Plan is great. Like with our stuff, we don't personally brand with our names. It's all just called the school or the micro school. So I think having that brand to be able to do something bigger than yourself, it always sets you up that opportunity to be able to just continue it with in regard to whatever way you want to scale it as well.
Yeah, I was having a close look at your coaching school. It looks absolutely amazing, by the way. So you should be really proud of that.
Thanks,
mate. Really slick, the whole thing. Yeah.
We're just, we know how hard it is in regards to getting an app and stuff ready, because we've got our app launch in June and it's been like a 9-month process, hasn't it?
Well, it was supposed to be March when it was launched. But obviously, as you probably know, as it goes along, you're like, oh, can we add that in? Yeah, that's about 10K and it'll take us 3 months. It's like, all right, then let's just, because it's one of those things where you want it. It's like you want it to be as perfect as humanly possible. So we're just kind of like, we don't want to rush it. We're just, if it's June, it's June. We've just got to deal with it.
Take your time with it. You know, my app was meant to be done in January. And then, you know, gyms, especially in Ireland, they're still not open. So things like, never mind pandemic, businesses are always going to be delayed. And then now that we've got pandemic COVID world, that it's like now it's ultra delayed. Everything is just so slow to happen. So, you know, and anyone who's listening, you know, maybe, you know, be patient with yourself and, you know, give yourself like, you know, a little bit of extra time. Don't be too hard on yourself.
Yeah.
If your dream business isn't launched next week.
Yeah, 100%. So as aside from business then, Rob, what are your personal plans for the future in regards to living and like travel plans and stuff when things start opening back up?
Yeah, so I'm actually at like just such a strange transition phase in my life, a really good one. So I'm out here in Marbella, funnily enough. And now I used
living
to
the dream.
Work.
So
at,
jealous. Yeah,
you'll be happy here. It's actually raining today, but I love that. That's when I get my work done, you know, because I'm so unproductive when the sun's out. Yeah. Go for a walk all day, you know, just swan about. So today is a great day. I'm like, of course, Rob Lipset says he loves the rain. What a little positive Patrick. But anyway, so I'm at a strange place. You know, I did not see last year that I'd be living in Marbella. Like I was living in London. And then, so my lease was January to January. I did the full year there. Absolutely loved London. It's amazing. And then, so London went into complete lockdown. So I say London as if it's a country, right? The UK went into lockdown in January, and Dublin also. So I was like, all right, look, I don't want to continue, you know, paying London rent prices for just a lockdown city. Dublin is just as bad. So I was like, I was either going to go to Dubai like everyone else on Instagram, or I was like, I'll go to somewhere that I actually know and that's a little bit closer, you know, in Europe. So I ended up choosing Marbella, and I've been loving that as well. So now I need to figure out, I'm going to stay here for the summer, and then I got to figure out, you know, do I want to settle down and buy in Dublin or London, or, you know, maybe go traveling for a bit, because I think we're all craving a bit of adventure. Yeah. You know, I think we're all craving that. So, you know what? I'm taking it month by month, and God knows where I'll end up. But I think I'm happy.
Having some vitamin D in your life makes such a difference, doesn't it? And I think that was the frustrating thing for everyone last year, especially us, because before we went into the pandemic, we were in Australia for like 2 months, weren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we stayed there. And have you been to Australia?
Yes. Oh, yeah. It's awesome, possibly the best country ever. It's just like an adventure, you know. Yeah. It's crazy.
100%, mate. And I think that's the biggest thing for most people. Have got itchy feet. We're just wanting to be able to get some sun, be in some different places, and being able to move around from country to country and stuff again. So I think we can't wait for that to be able to open up, can we?
Yeah. Well, we did kind of semi move to Lanzarote for like 6 weeks, didn't we?
Oh yeah, in the lockdown. Nice. We were in Lanzarote.
we went out on a holiday in October.
Before everyone went into lockdown.
Yeah, came home, had to isolate for 2 weeks, and then the Canary Islands went off the travel corridor, so we didn't have to isolate. So we just flew back out and we're like, oh, we'll stay there for 3 weeks. And we just didn't come home for like 6-7 weeks, did we? And then came home for Christmas, because it was one of those things, I think, as well as like a content creator. I think being in a lockdown was zapping. It was so hard to kind of think, shall I film another home workout? I really struggled throughout the
lockdown. Anyone for some banana bread?
Yeah, do you want some banana bread? Like, what shall I cook? So we just went to Lanzarote, didn't we, for a while?
Yeah, that was sick.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, no, you're dead right. And there's insane amounts of Irish people coming out to Marbella now. I'm just hearing Irish accent pop up everywhere in the gym. It's crazy because, like, what difference? I understand, you know, obviously you don't want to be spreading around if you go back and forth. But if you just relocate to somewhere else, first of all, you're not breaking any rules. And second of all, you're just staying put. And everyone works remotely now, pretty much. So yeah, you know, I fully recommend someone, you know, relocating to Lanzarote or Marbella for a couple of months. You'll be a lot more productive, you know.
Mm-hmm. I think you'll probably find a lot of people doing that, especially now the UK is starting to open back up again. We have a little bit more liberty in our lives, and as we're able to travel, I'm sure a lot of people will start to tend to move to different places in order to be able to just work. I don't think there's going to be that many places which are going to be going back to office-based style of work anymore. I think that's probably a thing of the past, and it's probably opened up a big change in business and the way that people operate for the rest of time, I'd imagine, as well. But
for rest of life, it's going to be a shift in society. Like, if there's one positive to take away from the last year and a half or 2 years, whatever it is that it's kind of sped up, you know, really humanity in a sense that, you know, everyone is just going to be work online. A lot of people are going to be a lot more productive, and I think a lot of people be a lot more grateful as well. So, you know, there's one little positive for it. And I bet you're delighted now that the gyms are open up.
Mate, I was about to move on to that in a bit. I honestly feel like a new man. It's been 2 days. I got a fresh fade yesterday. I've got chest doms for the first time in like fucking 2 months. I feel like a new man again, but it's incredible. But
yeah, it's unreal.
It's touching on those bits you're talking about in regards to business. I know that you keep an eye on stocks and stuff as well. I think it's driven a lot of companies to, especially those companies that are more digital based, to just like skyrocket. Because we're like big massive Disney fans as well, aren't we? Like, we're little kids.
I mean, I feel like you're more of a fan than me.
Don't play it down.
I mean,
he's getting hung out to dry here.
Fucking, I get all the blame for it now. You've got Moana on every morning.
Yes,
but
I know.
We've all watched Frozen like 10 times.
There's no positive vibes again. But I think I was listening to Joe Rogan talk about the other day in regards to how much Disney been losing from the theme parks and stuff. But then I think I was looking at the Disney Plus and the revenue that's drove already and how the stocks have gone up. It's fucking insane.
Yeah, they've hit over a billion in revenue in the first, I think, was it like the first 3 or 4 months from Disney Plus, and now they've upped the prices. I'm happy with the price increase. You can watch Disney.
Definitely. It's great. Yeah. Yeah, I've seen it. Disney Plus just popping up everywhere, like people doing brand deals promoting Disney Plus.
Crazy,
I'm like, yo, Disney, I'm right here.
Well, yeah, it's great to see. I think one of the reasons that we wanted to get you on today, Rob, as well, is you, on a serious note, are probably one of the most positive guys I've ever seen across social media platforms. And I think people have probably got that vibe already from listening in today. And although that doesn't reflect what people are doing 24/7 all the time on social media, can't reflect that, I think it's very hard to be able to fake that happiness and positivity.
Yeah, it's hard to keep it up for a 2-hour podcast.
Exactly, you know, mate. Exactly. That's why I wanted to get you on today. And I think that's something that you promote very much for your channels. I think if people have watched your YouTube videos, every video there's positivity going on, you're always happy. And I think that's very infectious, especially at a time where people are experiencing a lot of negativity in life. I think having that positive influence is great for people, and being able to see that how you can still be happy through these sort of moments in time. And I know that we joked at the start of the podcast about having a fade and grooming, and and that kind of thing. But those are the things I think that, especially during lockdown and even moving forward, that we can take advantage in order to make ourselves feel happier. And those kind of things bring up like better self-confidence, better self-esteem, and also like first impressions when we first start meeting people and stuff again. So I think those things that we touched on first in regards to that are very, very important, especially moving forward as well, to be able to just feel happier and feel a bit better in yourself. And I think that's something that whether you do it consciously or subconsciously, or whether it's just become a part of your routine and habits through life, I think it lends itself to being that more positive and feeling a bit happier, especially when you, like, I got up first thing this morning before the podcast, did a bit of work, then had a shave, although it was like some of our Chainsaw Massacre. I felt a bit better from doing it straight away. So what is kind of your routine, Rob, when you're going through like your week to week, whether it be self-grooming or preparation?
Yeah, absolutely. So just to touch on the kind of, you know, positivity thing, I used to actually be super negative and like super hard on myself, and like my old friends who I went to school with will know this, and it's a real Irish humor to be self-deprecating and to slag yourself and make fun of yourself, kind of, you know, English humor as well, like, yeah. Love kind of, you know, taking the piss. And so I would always be very hard on myself, and at the time I was like, oh, I'm just joking. But I noticed that, you know, I actually was just being quite negative to myself, and I wasn't really joking. And I always thought, because I was worse than the year at school, I always thought, you know, I'd never amount to anything. I thought my grades would really depict on how my life would turn out, and I was super negative. And I was like, also, I failed first year college twice. I dropped out, and there was a stage in my life, I had no relatives to give me a job, I had no connections, nothing. And I was lying in bed all day playing Xbox, waking up at like 2 p.m. And I was like, what is the like one thing in the day that like you are actually good at that you look forward to? And that was always going to the gym and exercising. And then once I started to focus on that a little bit, say, hey, maybe I can make a career out of this, and loving myself a lot more, you know, being positive and realizing that I can look at the glass half full, and that you can actually just make being positive your default. Mm-hmm. And that's really like, just make it your default setting. And if something goes wrong, you just go your default to that. Your life will just 360, that means the same, 180. Your life will just turn around, okay? And it's crazy. So just for anyone listening right now, I was not always a very positive person. Positivity was not always my default. So yeah, just to get that very clear, and that, you know, I just made a conscious effort over time to just make that my default and kind of look for the best and everything. And life is so much more fun now. I'm like, seriously, I'm like, why wasn't I just, you know, thinking like this the whole time and just having this mindset? Your mindset is the most powerful muscle you have. But then another one on top of that, like you mentioned, you know, self-care, self-grooming, it is so huge, and especially for men. So 90% of my audience on YouTube are male, you know, and so I'm like, so I'm speaking to that here. A lot of times we think we're too hard to, you know, get a pedicure, or, you know, get a facial, look after your skin and everything. And it's kind of like cleaning your room. Keeping your car clean, keeping your office clean. If you keep your body clean, your hygiene clean, your mind will work so much better. You work out, you exercise, you put nutritious foods in your body, you're eating the right amounts. Just again, your life will absolutely change. And if I have a week where, you know, I'm feeling, you know, a bit slobbish, or maybe, you know, eat bad food, whatever you class bad food as, you know, or you drink too much alcohol, or you don't get enough sleep, it's a direct reflection of just your general well-being. So that's something I do try stay on top of a lot. And it's like the weekly fade, it's like a thing. It's not, I'm not a different person if I have a centimeter off the side of my head. It's just a thing. It's like a mental cue. And so, yeah, the Fresh Fade Friday, it's a big deal.
Yeah, I think even if you're probably going in at some point and it's not even taking anything off, it's probably just taking the dust off the side of your head.
Yeah, yeah, literally. Yeah, like literally just scraping the side of my head, just massaging it. Yeah, you know? Like, nice. I'm like, now I can do anything.
I've been in before, haven't I, with you? So when Lucy goes and gets her nails, then I go and get a pedicure sometimes, don't I?
Yeah, and it's like, I remember putting it on my story. I was like, oh, Ben's getting a pedicure. I'm getting my nails done. Loads of people were like, why is he getting a pedicure? I'm like, why the fuck can't he get a pedicure? There's like a stigma behind it. And I don't understand. Like, girls go and get the hair done. They get the nails. They get this. Like, guys, go and get a facial. Get your hair done. Like, moisturize.
Oh, I love a good moisturize. Can't beat it. And I think, I forget which athlete it is. It could be like LeBron James or Ronaldo. It's one of the big dogs. Gets like a pedicure every week. And his ass face, like, dude, I'm training my ass off on my feet 7 days a week. I got to look after them puppies.
Look after the moneymakers, 100%.
Yeah, exactly. That's the moneymaker, for sure. 100%.
I think, just to probably put a bit of a minging spin on this one, so apologies. It's like when you start when you're a kid, though, you don't really know what you're doing, but you're still trying to groom. I think there's loads more male products out now. Like, I think there's one called Manscaped, which is like a razor for guys. So I remember the first time I went to cut like the bro bits, and it was with a pair of like my mum's kitchen scissors. And this was a bit of a fucking horror story. So, like, I went upstairs and I was up there for 15 minutes. I came out, I ended up having to shout like my mum or something, because it was like fucking chainsaw mask, there was blood everywhere. And it's safe to say I never used the kitchen scissors again in that department. But if that's something that you learn and pick up on as you go.
You're not going to believe it. I'm actually doing a brand deal with Manscaped
next
week.
No way!
Hey, here's a perfect plug now. We just set you up for it.
Yeah, exactly. I know. Yeah, I'm like, use code Lipstick. But it's so funny. I only work with brands that like integrity is number one. I don't even do that many one-off brand deals. Yeah. Like, obviously, I have my main sponsorships that I've been with for years. But I don't do too many one-off ones. And they sent me the product, and I love it. Yeah, it's really good. So so it's legit. Yeah. But no, so on that, you know, I will just do the odd YouTube brand deal here and there. And then, like kind of everyone in the fitness industry, you have like your supplement sponsor, your gym wear sponsor, and they're kind of your two core main ones that, you know, you build a relationship with.
100%.
Is it MyProtein or who you guys with? Or
I'm MyProtein and Gymshark. Yeah. I've only just moved over to MyProtein, but I've been with Gymshark for like, what, two and a half years now?
Yeah.
I lose track.
So mine's like, I don't know how much I'm after to talk about at the moment.
You have one pending.
Yeah.
Nice. You have one pending. Keep your cards close to your chest.
I'm just leaving USN at the moment. Like, I love the company, love the brand. I've been with them for like a couple of years. It was actually funny because you might know Sean. Like, he messaged me the other day about Ghost. So I've been speaking to Sean. But yeah, there's some stuff like pending at the moment, which I can't talk about too much. But then I'm also with, at the moment, which is quite new for the UK, but they're quite big in America's Fabletics. I've been enjoying like a lot of their stuff at the moment, and I know they're doing a couple of big campaigns, like the Kevin Hart campaign, a few.
Yeah, they're huge. Yeah.
Yeah, so they're great. But there's a study that I pulled up this morning, just because we're talking about grooming, and it was looking at people's self perception of when they're groomed and not groomed. So it was looking at a group of males and females who they were looking at like self evaluation. So they were taking people who were at like a normal BMI level, and asking them to kind of like rate themselves. So they were showing different people, saying like, do you think you're larger or smaller than this person, and rating their own composition. And they noticed a significant difference in their own self-worth of how they would rate themselves after they've been like through a full week of grooming in comparison to not. So just goes to show like your own perception can be changed if you take a little bit more time just to self-invest into yourself, tidy yourself up a little bit, and kind of like focus on your own self.
Yeah, I love that.
I think that's a whole thing as well about like, I know it's completely different, but if you want to help other people and you want to be able to be there for other people, you've got to invest in yourself first and kind of fill your own vessel up first before you can then help other people. But I thought it was interesting.
Love that quote.
Yeah, that is kind of shown that just by changing a couple of things and focusing on yourself a little bit can change the way that you think and feel about yourself, even to the point of your own composition of how you physically look as well.
Yeah, but that's why
I saw a really strong, a really strong statement, and it was like, I forget who it was from, I just saw the line, and it was like, it is a moral obligation to your community and your family for you to like look after yourself and your well-being. Yeah. Like, I love that, a moral obligation. I love that. I think it's so true. And again, you need to look after yourself first before you go helping your community and everyone around you. Yeah.
I think that's why as well, when gyms obviously opened, they only opened 2 days ago, and I have felt so much better We've got a great little home gym, not gonna lie. We've been pretty fortunate with what we've got, but it's different going to that environment and seeing other people there, because you can tell everyone was like hyper on Monday, weren't they? Like everyone was in their little box everywhere. With their like cleaning stuff, like, oh, I'm back in a gym, and it's so great. So looking after your grooming and stuff like that, but also looking after your physical health is so important, isn't it? Going to the gym, working out, walking, running, whatever you prefer to do, yoga. It just changes the game.
Yeah. I mean, that's the reason why on airplanes, they tell you to put your own oxygen mask on first before you put other people's on.
Nice. You've got
to look after your number one first. But I know that you touched on before, Rob, briefly in regards to other jobs and stuff and how you become through college and education and stuff. Is there been a position in your life where potentially before you got into like social media and what you're doing now, where you haven't been particularly happy, and how did you almost change that position that you were in? How did you take that spin of being maybe unhappy and creating that positivity for yourself?
Oh God. Some of the jobs that I've worked, I've just absolutely just despised, really. And they'd make me really feel like, oh, is this it? I'm like, oh, is this my life now? Like, is this how it goes? And that was actually like the motivation to spin it, really. So I'd be working like, I remember the real turning point was I was working a 9 to 6 office job. So be like, not, you know, I'd be commute to work at 8, be in there at 9, you know, and then you finish at 6. And I was kind of like always feeling like, oh God, I'm just working to make some other dude's dreams come true, you know? And then at 6, I'd commute home. I'd get home at 7. I'd say hi to my family. I'd eat dinner. Then between 8 to about 9:30, I'd hit the gym. And then I'd get home, shower. It's 10 p.m. now. And then 10 p.m. to 2 a.m., you know, I'd work on my fitness business on the side. So I'd be trying to get clients, I'd coach current ones. I had even like this little LF clothing thing on the side. I was editing YouTube videos. I was recording YouTube videos, like a full day of eating at 1 a.m. And, you know, like, and I was just trying to get my fitness business going on the side. And that was a really like strenuous time. I get 4 hours sleep and then, you know, get up at 6-7 a.m. get ready for 9-6 again. But that was such an important time and I learned so much. And this is a crucial time. It's a transition period of a lot of people that, you know, they're working jobs they don't like and they do know what they want. So for me it was fitness. You can't just quit your job and just go straight into it. It sounds cool, it sounds romantic, it sounds Gary Vee, but it doesn't work like that, you know? So you need to kind of build a safety net on the side, and you're gonna have to work twice as hard for a while. It's like work your ass off now so you can relax and do what you like later, okay? Discipline equals freedom. And so once I did this, and then once my fitness, 2 a.m. you know, YouTube thing on the side, once that started making more than I was earning in my office job per month, that's when it was safe to leave and go full time with, you know, online fitness, YouTube and all that. So yeah, you know, that was a time I was like unhappy, but I was also learning a lot and I was hoping that was pay off, and it did. But we're all going to work jobs that we hate. We're never going to get our dream job and our dream life set up from the get-go. So I would say use that as like a bit of motivation, you know, and it's like, you can't get the highs without the lows. Like how can you know if something is even good if you haven't even tasted bad yet? Yeah, so if anyone, especially like if they're in their early 20s, they're just starting out in life and, you know, they're just getting a taste for things, I would say to embrace it all and embrace those feelings of grind, you know what I mean? And enjoy the whole process.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's good that you said that, because I think it relates to a lot of people. We get a lot of our listeners who are looking to potentially transition into the fitness world and move away from other jobs, personal trainers, etc. And I think a lot of people get demotivated at first when it comes to seeing lack of results for the effort that you put in. And I think that's something that you've got to be willing to go through and willing to experience.
Yeah.
Oh, seriously, like, the people, now this is what annoys me, okay? The people that just, they give up so easily. Okay, you can give up, that's fine, but don't dare complain about it. Yeah. Don't dare complain about it when you've given up so quickly that and you say, oh, why did I get results? Anyone that has is persevering, that's killing in their industry. They didn't get results immediately from the get-go. Do you think you're just born with, you know, 500,000 subscribers and a ton of clients? Like, do you think your parents can donate clients to you? Like, what? You know, it's ridiculous. And so people just give up so easily. And it's like 98% of people or 95% of people, whatever, give up too easily. And it's like, well, then you don't deserve it. You know, if you just give up that easily and complain about it. So
I think that's the thing. Yeah. Usually it's those type of people. I'm sure you probably got quite a lot of it through your career. Cause now we were speaking on a podcast about it about a week or two ago, is those who then like take to online to criticize other people who are potentially sitting in those positions of success, because it almost makes them feel bad or guilty seeing the mirror held up to them for the potentially the work that they haven't been putting in. And it makes them almost, we get like these almost like keyboard warriors who love to attack other people, because it makes them feel better that things are almost out of their hands and that they didn't possess the willpower to be able to change things and make things seem undoable for them. I'm sure you probably experienced quite a lot of that through your career as well, because we were speaking about, weren't we, last week?
Yeah, well, I had it really bad at uni, didn't I? Because yeah. I'm 24 now, so I started things quite young.
Yes.
Like, I started like 18, 19, so I was up at 6. I started my online coaching, I was doing my dissertation, doing my exams. I wasn't asked about going out. I just wasn't. It wasn't for me. Did it a few times in first year. And people then were so willing to tear me down. Like, oh no, don't do that. Like, oh, you're so boring. You don't go out. I'm like, okay, so we'll put it on 4 or 5 years and I'm here now. Mm-hmm. Do you still want to complain about what I was doing back at uni? Why were you so bothered that I wasn't interested in going out? And I think that's where some people need to be a bit stronger in terms of like level-headed. Like, if your friends are saying stuff, if your family's saying stuff and trying to tear you down, because I always found it was the people who were quite close to you who they thought they were kind of like protecting you by like my best friends at uni used to say like, oh, you shouldn't be doing that. Like, you're working too hard. You're doing this.
Yeah.
And they're trying to do it from a good place. They're trying to tell you to be careful and do this. But I think that's where you do need to be quite level-headed and think, okay, I know I can do it. I know I can carry on even though it's hard.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love what you said there as well, you know, about, you know, staying in during uni as well. I like, from the age of 22, 23, 24, I hardly drank. And you're like, what, Rob Ibsen? The guy was on whiskey sour pre-workout. I didn't go out. I didn't ball out. I didn't party. There's no tables in clubs. And I lost a ton of friends. Most of the friends I was friends with 22, I'm not friends with them now.
Yeah.
You know? And so you'll lose when you're doing something, when you're working on yourself, people will see that and you'll lose a ton of friends. And that's great. It's trimming the fat. It's good. Yeah. And you're going to get new friends and you're going to get friends that are supportive and who are on the same mission as you. So it's a good thing. But what you said just there resonated totally with me. Anyone who starts out in their journey and starts doing something a little bit different to the norm, you're going to lose tons of friends. And even a very funny one, I often speak about this with other Irish people who become doing similar things to me. Ireland, I don't know if you've ever been, Dublin especially, is the smallest place in the world. Like, everyone knows everyone. Jeez, do you see what your man's doing down there? he's fucking recording himself doing bicep curls and he's putting them on the internet. Jeez, I wonder what his mother thinks of that now. You know, everyone, and they'll be there just sitting behind a Guinness like, who the fuck does he think he is? You know, and so everyone would be talking about it, and in any small town it applies. Like, even I've heard my friends from America who'd be from like back arse Ohio or whatever it is. If you come from a small town and you do something out of the norm, crabs in a bucket, they'll try to drag you down. So what you said there, it's just so true, and I think it's applicable for a lot of people who are listening, who are, you know, maybe from a smaller community and they want to break out and do something different. And it's very funny when you think about it, you know, but it's so true.
I mean, that's what happened when I first started doing shit as well, because it was like, I don't know if it was my mom or someone in my family was saying, because I used to work for the police, basically, Merseyside Police, and that was when I was transitioning into fitness, and I was like contemplating quitting my job in the police because I'd starting to build up a bit of a client basis, and I was posting like some online workouts and whatever, and I remember someone in my family was like, are you really going to quit the police to run around like a dickhead with your iPhone in the gym?
Yeah, literally.
I think that's the thing that comes with like the old... Yeah, that's me. I think that's the thing that comes like the older generation, and you can fast forward like 4 or 5 years on. The industry's changed a lot. Technology changed a lot. And I think if you're one of the people to willing to kind of jump on that initial train and just try and ride the wave moving forward, then you'll gain the benefits of putting in that hard labor and taking a risk and taking a gamble. Because like you said, there's got to be at some point where you've built up that security around and what you're doing with work to be able to, okay, I'm going to burn the boat and learn to swim here. I'm just going to fucking go for it. And you'll know kind of when that time is right and it comes along. But I know you've obviously talked about your fitness business, Rob, and as you're moving out of those times where you potentially weren't happy and trying to create some more positivity in your life, how do you think health and fitness personally helped you, not from just like a business sense, but create positivity in your life and how you feel as well? How do you think that helped during that time? Because we talk about often how powerful health and fitness and training is to our mental health. And I think that's been the pinnacle through lockdown of how much people have missed it and how much like those positive vibes have been around the first 2 days, especially in England, since the gyms have been open. So how do you feel that that has helped you along with your journey?
Let me tell you now, to this day, the most important part of my entire day is exercising. It bar none. It is more important to work. If someone's like, if I have a really important meeting and I haven't hit the gym, I'll cancel it. I will choose an hour in the gym over that. I'll be like, guys, I can't make it. And Joe, who I actually kind of got that, like, just realized like how important it is, was I watched like a few years ago, it was a video by The Rock. And he spoke about how he's the same. He says his workout anchors his day. He says above all, he will just never miss a workout. And after I was like, geez, if The Rock, you know, if he's prioritizing workout, then, you know, he's got so much on, then like it really just goes to show how important it is. And then after that, I just completely agree. And so I think it's just the most important part of my day. I think that's why I'm so passionate about, you know, health and fitness and the fitness industry as well, because I truly believe it's the most part of my day. And so many people's problems, would disappear if they started weight training regularly and watching what they eat. Like that is a statement. It's a bold statement. You say, I stand by it. You can say what you want about me. I completely stand by it. People started weight training particularly. Any exercise is good, but I think weight training is just, resistance training is it's just so slept on. Like, you know, the general population will be more inclined to go for a Joe Wicks clap your hands workout, which is great. It's getting people moving. You know, actually, I'm a fan of what Joe Wicks has done, but I think that weight training in particular is just so slept on.
Yeah.
Like, I think just so much more people.
I'm so happy you said that. Because it's, and I get it. Lockdown was hard. There was a massive increase in like HIIT workouts and things like that.
Yeah.
But if you like think about it logically, if you're doing 6 or 7 HIIT workouts a day, your knees, ankles and hips are not going to thank you even in like 2 or 3 or 5 years times. Like that's a longevity thing. Yeah, you might be fine now doing your 6 to 7 HIIT classes. You know, it's great. Like you said, getting people moving. I'm so for that. But then these people are also not even slightly promoting weight training. And it's like weight training is for your bones, your body, your joints, your longevity of life. And it's confused me, hasn't it?
It's mad. Do you know what? People, people don't understand. I think they've got a wrong image in their head. People don't understand how healthy building muscle is.
Mm-hmm.
Like healthy, not cosmetic reasons. Building muscle for your bone density, it lowers chance of obesity later in life. It lowers your risk of developing diabetes massively. It improves pretty much all your markers of health. If you're weight training regularly throughout your life and you're 80 years old, you need to be able to stand up, get out of your chair. Like it's just so, there's so much carryover into real world. And it's just such a healthy thing to do.
Yeah.
And I think people see like a bodybuilder, like they see Jay Cutler or Ronnie Coleman, and they think, oh, lifting weights is unhealthy. You know, it just turns you into a crazy freak. Whereas it's just not the case at all. But I think like weight training is like the healthiest thing you can do. I don't even think that there's research to prove that.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's not even my opinion. It's I've looked in depth at you it's know, funny that you touched on that. This.
Yeah. It's funny that you touched on that because we did a full episode 2 weeks ago in regards to the benefits of building tissue, and it's a lot to do with especially the elderly population as well. So it's got a lot to do with in regards to correlation for not just the length of life that you can live, but the quality of life that you can live when you're older. Because one of the biggest things behind obesity in regards to diseases is to do with muscle wastage. And if you can go into life as a trained person later on, you stand the chance of living a lot higher quality life in those later stages of life. Because the main things that make the human body deteriorate is lack of activity. So when people have to go in wheelchairs or a bed bound, they have to start taking lifts, the NEAT levels drop. That's one of the biggest deteriorations in the quality of life and how people then catch disease and stuff as well. So we did a full podcast on that like a couple of weeks ago, and I'm glad that you talked about that. The other thing in regard to what you touched on is the benefits of weightlifting, because there's a lot of studies published in regard to aerobic fitness, but there's been a higher prevalence in those done for resistance training, especially to do with depression as well, because we talked about another podcast. I just got it in my notes, and results have showed that resistance training, especially for exercise, significantly reduced depression symptoms amongst participants. And if the physiological adaptions associated with strength training, gain muscle growth, interact neurologically for depression, then it may have different and greater effects on depression than aerobic fitness training alone. And that was published by Harvard as well. So there's a lot more research coming out at the moment in regards to how much better resistance-based training can be for your mental health, not just aerobic, because we know there's been a lot of publishings on that. But I think the more that we go into studies to do with exercise and around resistance training, lifting weights, I think the more that we will see that prevalence moving forward as well.
Yeah, and just to touch on the kind of first question as well about, you know, me and my mind and working out as well. It's like if someone told me, Rob, you're going to work out 5 days a week for the next 5 years and you're going to build maybe 2 pounds of muscle, would you still do it? Yes. That's the last 5 years. Yeah. I'm like, I've already done it. That's how much I like working out. Like literally go back to my like YouTube videos in like 2000, like 16, 17, I'm like squatting 3 plates with ease. I'm like pretty much the same size I am now. I think I'm actually even a bit leaner. You know, it's like there's, you know yourself, even my 10-year transformation video, like, it's 10 years and you can see the first 3 years, it's crazy difference. And then obviously the results slow down the longer you train, of course, or else we'd all just end up, you know, bench pressing cars. And so it's like now I'm not, you know, of course, progress has slowed so much. That's what I'm doing it for. I'm doing it for my mind. I'm doing it because I enjoy it. I'm doing it because it anchors my day and pieces my day together. So yeah, that's a really funny comparison. Like, you know, if you ask them if they're really into this game, it's like, will you go to the gym for next 5 years, you know, just to gain a pound of muscle and see what they say?
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Well, it's funny that you should say that as well. What is that? I don't know if you've heard about it. What is that gene called where, like, you don't have a limitation on how much you can grow?
It's myostatin. Yes.
Yes.
I think Eddie Hall's got it, hasn't he?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, literally. So strong.
You just don't stop growing. You like, you just get to the point where you're like a fucking house.
Yeah, it's a gene that's in a bull, isn't it?
Yeah,
or a cow.
A bull. Mate, imagine if you had that.
Doesn't he have a boxing match coming up? Eddie Hall and Thor.
Yeah, with what the mountain? Yeah,
Thor. Yeah.
Mate, that's gonna be crazy. So, that'll be a good one.
So funny. A few months ago, someone who like works with them or something messaged me about being on the undercard for it. And I was like, 100%. You get anyone, I'll fight them. Put me on that undercard. Never came to fruition, but I'm like, I'm still here. I'm like, screw it. I'll fight Eddie. Yeah. About 5 times my body weight, maybe more.
Yeah. I think I think that was a thing as well. Like for most people who haven't got into weight training or even people who have, you can change your mood drastically in 45 minutes by just going lifting up a barbell, a dumbbell for a little bit. I know that we were speaking the other day and you just touched on it there in regards to the rise of HIIT workouts through lockdown. And we see these these people on Instagram and online and stuff are like doing this mad shit just for to grab people's attention. And I know it frustrates you as much as it does those, because we were speaking about it the other week, weren't we? And it's, well, the amount of shit you say at the moment is just comical.
Yeah. It's because it looks fancy. Yeah. Like it looks a little bit more interesting doing like a burpee clap, high knees punch kick than a fucking barbell squat.
Yeah. And I'm
not about it.
Yeah, I get, of course. And the funniest was like, when I replied to your story, it was like, the person was like legit massive, like it was like a men's physique athlete.
Mate, it's a fucking house.
Like, just not how Jeremy Buendia is training.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's not how like a men's physique athlete is training. And I get it, you know, like you just want to do something different or mix things up a little bit, but it comes to a stage where it's actually just misleading, really. Mm-hmm. It's like, you're just giving these like BS workouts to that aren't going to build any muscle whatsoever. To like people who are new to the gym and they want to get that physique, but they're just doing these crazy workouts. And a funny one, have you ever read Eric Helms' book, the pyramid, training and nutrition pyramid,
something like that?
Yeah, and the chapter on volume, frequency, and intensity, it made a really good analogy. And it was like, well, if we just walked around all day, because of gravity, we'd all have massive legs. Yeah. You know, we'd all have huge quads and everything. Or it's like, if you curl a pencil, you know, you could just be in school like curling pencil, you get massive arms. No, there needs to be enough stimulus.
Yeah.
There needs to be enough intensity to build muscles. So again, that's where resistance training is irreplaceable.
Yeah.
It's simply irreplaceable.
100%.
They're like my favorite books I think I've ever read on training. I think I read them like, 6 years ago or something.
All the OGs. We had Brad Schoenfeld a couple of episodes ago. He's like one of the OGs of like hypertrophy training and stuff as well. And he was...
I mean, his book, I don't know if you've read that, The Strength of Hypertrophy Work. It is the hardest book.
You need a translator, don't you?
It's one of those ones where you actually feel disheartened reading it. I was like, I need to Google every single word. Like, it was just... So that one was quite overwhelming. It's good, but it's very overwhelming, isn't it?
Yeah. One of the books I'd noted down, Rob, I don't know if you've read it. Have you read The Secret?
Oh, yes. The first book I ever read.
Really? Oh, great.
Yeah, because
I think that's one of the biggest things in regard... I thought you might have read it just based on, like, how you are as a human being as well.
Yeah.
In regards to that law of attraction and positivity. I think that's such a big thing. And me and Cal were actually speaking about it this morning. In regards to how you go into situations and how you view bad experiences or how you view a problem and how you can massively change the outcome if your just perception is different going into to dealing with that problem, and how a positive mindset moving into it and just creates that positivity around you, and what you get back will be positive as well.
So funny enough, when I said at the start of the podcast that I was like, oh, there was a day where I just flipped and I just, you know, my default was now positivity, it was actually because one of the reasons was because I read the book The Secret.
No way.
I just don't like saying that, because The Secret is the basic bitch of self-help books. It's the caramel frappuccino. whereas reading Niche is like iced black coffee. So I put hands in the air. That was the first kind of self-help manifestation book I ever read, and it's great. It's a great book for beginners who want to start focusing on having a more positive mindset and visualization, which is, again, it's so important. And I think it's important to draw the line, as in, people can think it's all woo-woo, voodoo, universe, planets aligning. And it's like, no, you know, you still need to put in the work as well. But these are the foundations of the mindset that you got to adapt if you want to make positive changes in your life. So I'm always apprehensive to mention that The Secret's a great book, because it's like, you're such a noob, but it is a solid
book.
Great.
You know?
It's probably the most like read self-help book in the world at this stage. It's like the entry.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's a great start for people wanting to. And
Yeah, me too.
I think if you can grasp that concept of what it's about, it's great. I think the other thing that is quite good from it that I took away from it is the power of giving. Like,
power of now. Is that?
That power of how and the power of giving as well. So like when we give to other people, we instantly feel like a gratification. We feel better than ourselves. Yeah. And that's why a lot of people love Christmas, because they like giving shit. And I think it's powerful how great. I know you love doing it.
I love giving a gift.
I love receiving them, to be fair.
Yeah. But, yeah, nice. Good dynamic here.
Yeah, mate.
But Linda had this attitude.
I mean, that's why a lot of people get gratification from doing like volunteer work and stuff like that, because when you give, you often feel great from it. I pulled a stat up because this was talking about giving and volunteer work. And again, it was a lot to do with anxiety and depression, which we know has been massive in regards to mental health through lockdown and stuff.
Yeah.
The world apparently there's something called the World Happiness Report, which stated that at any one time there's 220 million children and 1 billion adults who suffer from anxiety and depression, conduct disorder. And one of the main ways that they're looking at treating it is through voluntary work as well, because when we do voluntary work, it has like a psychological impact and it helps bring down cortisol levels. It helps downregulate stress and anxiety. So I think that's why a lot of people, I know we have the Christmas stuff where we feel mad stressed, but a lot of people feel like less stressed and feel better and happy around Christmas, because it's that art of giving.
Time for giving, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. this is something I've like never really mentioned online, because it never really came up. But one of like the best things I've ever done in my life is, do you know what Lourdes in France is? Like, do you know the place?
Yeah.
Lourdes.
Yeah,
right. I volunteered there for a week straight when I was in like school. So I was like, 18, 19. And like, you see these people and they're just, super in bad place. You have diseases, life-threatening diseases and disabilities and everything, and you just hang out with them and help them for a week. And this was like, a decade ago, and it's just something I'll never ever in my life forget. It just gave me the most perspective just ever. Mm-hmm. That was actually towards the end of my school time, and it's always just stuck with me for life. Anytime I'm also, this is also like a bit of a mad thing I think of, is like, even when there's a time where I don't feel like working out, or I don't feel like putting in the work, or I'm be like, how dare you? Like, how dare you have the opportunity? Like, you have working legs. Like, you literally have no disabilities. Like, you're in a first world country. Like, you've got everything on your side. Like, how dare you have the audacity to complain about you have the luxury to go work out, whereas like some people kill that. So that's like how my mind works a lot of times when I need a bit of motivation, is perspective.
Perspective,
yeah.
Sometimes
that's great.
And being grateful for how deeply, deeply lucky a lot of us are.
100%. I think one of the other notes that we made, and this is another little stat that pulled up because I knew you were coming on as well, I don't know if you want to reel through it, was the effect, and I'm sure if people are watching this episode on YouTube, make sure to head over to Spotify or SoundCloud, by the way, to view this one on YouTube, because I'm sure people will take away from this episode already, you're a guy who never stops smiling, and there's been actual effects that have been showed. I've had teeth like that as well.
Yeah. Half effects. Them are real. No, they actually are real.
There's been effects that have been shown from like just smiling. And a lot of those to do with like chemicals that the brain release. And it's actually tiny molecules called neuropeptides that help fight off stress. So in other words, the studies that suggest that we can almost like fake smile. So if we smile more, it's more worthwhile. It can actually reduce heart rate. We often feel better from it. So just having a smile, or it's even seeing others who are smiling.
Yeah.
Give us that sense
of others.
Like, for example, we're just looking at the screen now, looking at you smiling. It automatically makes, look at Lucy now.
You have a laugh. And laughter is another one as well. Yeah. Like, there's like a clip on YouTube, or I think it came with my Twitter or something, and it was like just a minute clip of people laughing, and the caption was like, try not to laugh. And you watch the video, you just start laughing, even though there's no joke, there's no nothing, and it's great. So if we can all smile and laugh a little bit more, then the world would be a better place. Exactly. That sounds like a fucking Disney line there. If we can all smile and laugh a little bit more, the world be a better place. Rob Lipset the musical coming soon.
Man, I want to see this one fucking published. I want to see this one published. I think we watched that video, didn't we? The one where people were just randomly laughing on that social media video, and you couldn't stop fucking crying.
Yeah, I laugh a lot. I always just laugh at, like, I laugh at myself. Sometimes I do something, I'm like, oh, you're fucking hilarious, Lucy.
Yo,
and
same.
I just like,
I think we should, I think I'm the funniest person in the world. No one else does.
You've got to back yourself, mate. You've got to back yourself 100%.
Yeah, exactly.
I think there was a team of economists who performed a study as well to do with those who laugh and smile more in regards to human happiness. And it had positive effects when it came to productivity and creativity as well. And I think that's why probably a lot of people are consumed and hooked into a lot of the YouTube videos that you create, because that there's just that natural positivity that people may get from 20 minutes of the day from tuning in and watching some of your videos. And I think that's very infectious, and I think people want to be around that kind of type of person, that type of environment as well. So that's why, I mean, I've been tuning into your YouTube videos for a long time. That's why I was hyped about getting you on the podcast today. I think this episode will be really released at a great time when people will start to get back to some normality, and they need some of that positivity in their life as well.
Yeah, a funny one, right? So you do know Joe Delaney?
Yeah.
You should definitely get him on the podcast as well. Maybe you could understand each other with the accent and stuff, you know. Could be a nice common ground there. But so Joe was speaking at another, you know, company that I run was fucking gone bust now with the pandemic, was the Creator Agency. I'll get it back on, you know, one day. Maybe the government might actually support me. Anyways, right? So I've received sense. But anyway, so what in 2019 was the last event. It's called the Creator Agency, where I just bring content creators together, get them up on stage, and I just MC the day, and we just chat, really. Usually I get about 5 or 6 people, like Kristen Guzman was one of them, Max Tuning was one of them. We all went to Dublin. Got him locked. We did the talk. It was brill. Joe Delaney was one of them as well. That was just so funny. And we were talking about this on YouTube, just like what you said, is people want to tune in for a bit of positivity. And people were like, oh, is that, you know, not a bit fake to only show the highlight reel, only show the positivity? And Joe just goes, mate, no one wants to see you crying into a bowl of beans in your shitty apartment. I think that's just the truest thing ever.
He's so honest, isn't he? As well. I did a YouTube video with Joe.
I was with Bolt Powders, and we went down to London to do a shoot, and we were with him for like a few days.
He's just so laid back, and he just doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, he's so funny.
Yeah, he's my guidance counselor. Yeah, we're planning a trip at some stage this summer. I'd go Greece together. He's coming to Marbella for a little bit. But yeah, Joe's just so funny. And like, that's another thing as well. Like, people love to complain about social media. Funny enough, what on social media is where they complain. And, you know, they're like, oh, people are always, you know, posting, living a fake life, posting a highlight reel. I was like, first of all, I usually just post what I'm up to that day. You know, there's YouTube. I'm like, it's not CGI. This is what I'm doing. And then it's like, second of all, it's like, do you really want to like people to post them like crying into the camera, crying into a bowl of beans?
Well, I think,
it's funny.
I think that's fake in itself. Like sitting there recording yourself fucking crying. You've had to stop, get your fucking phone out and record yourself.
Yeah, that's the biggest show of them all.
Yeah.
We've had this conversation before in regard to, like, we'll often post pictures of stuff. And you've got to take into consideration, you're only seeing a small portion of someone's life. But I'm not when if me and Lucia are having an argument, and it's generally because you've started it. I'm not gonna, I got you, bro. I'm not going to take my phone out and start fucking recording it and showing it, because it's not real.
Wait there
a second, babe. I'm just going to fucking start recording you while you go.
Let me just prop it up on the tripod. It's nuts. But yeah, no, Joe's hilarious. Definitely get him on the podcast.
Yeah, great idea.
So we went off tangent there. But yeah, like, basically when people want to listen to a podcast or tune into a vlog or whatever it may be, you know, they want some good emotions. And what I always say is, people are like, how do I grow online? How do I grow on social media? I go, well, it's an exchange. It has to be mutually beneficial. If you go into a shop and you buy a pack of chewing gum, okay, you give shopkeeper €1 or whatever it is, he gives you a pack of gum, you part ways. People, they click on your video, they're giving you 15 minutes of their day or whatever it is. What are you giving back to them? Mm-hmm. You know, are you giving them some good emotions, you know, entertainment, funny? Is it informative? It has to be something. It has to elicit an emotional response. So yeah, you know, if people are tuning in my vlogs, you know, I like to be upbeat, positive, happy.
100%. I think, I don't know if you're reading my show notes, but that was the next thing I was about to move on to now was toxic positivity. Because I think there is something to be said about it still. I think in regards to Most of it is to do with, I pulled the definition up. So toxic positivity is an obsession with positive thinking. It is the belief that people should be positive and put a positive spin on things all the time, even those that are profoundly tragic. So I think obviously the thing that's trying to get at almost is that sometimes we're going to feel sad. Sometimes we're going to feel shitty. Sometimes we might look in the mirror and think, fucking, I feel like a bag of shit this morning. And yeah. I think the thing to with that is to just sometimes embrace it and accept that some days you're going to feel like shit, and you don't have to force yourself to feel amazing about it all the time.
Yeah. So funny enough, there was a little like infographic that came up. Like I was scrolling through Instagram and it was like on the left, it was like toxic positivity. And then on the right, it was like, what you should say. I picked it up like, oh, hey, Linda, I'm totally the dude on the left. I was like, I'm the most toxic positivity guy in the world. And like, yeah, I think it's funny. This is just who I am. But you know what? Like, I'm apprehensive to call anything toxic. Like, you know, there's so much thing. Oh, being a man is toxic masculinity. Being positive is toxic positivity. What? Like, you know, what does that essentially mean if someone's being genuine, you know? Yes, there can be people being fake and they're being overly positive at the wrong time. But, you know, if you are just being yourself, well, then that's it. But I am always find very important to include that I'm not positive 100% of the time. Yeah. Like there's days where I'm just like, even having a breakdown where I'm like, oh, I'm not going to make it. No one's going to like Fuel Cakes. No one's going to download the app. Oh, the app's going to crash. Too many people have downloaded it. I'm like, I am honestly manic at times as well. But you know, as long as you're resetting your default to like being in control and looking at the best in the situation, that's fine. So like there was like, someone asked me a while ago, they're like, oh, are you ever like, you know, freaking out really down on yourself? And I was like, yeah, for sure. For like, you know, maybe an hour, then I'm back to it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, as long as you're not letting this negativity creep in and affect your entire day, it's completely normal. Like humans feel anxiety and they feel depression. They're normal feelings. Like if you don't feel them, you're a sociopath. Yeah. Like, you know, you're crazy. These are just normal human emotions. So they're fine, and there's something that everyone feels.
I think that's the point of why I wanted to bring this up as well, is that because I think it's okay to accept those emotions and to embrace them sometimes.
Oh yeah.
However, to get yourself out of that position, it's okay to accept them, but I feel like you have to take some kind of action steps in order to bring yourself back to a place that you want to be. You can't just drown yourself in those negative emotions and stuff. And I think the reason I noticed it a couple of times with posts, especially through lockdown, in regards to when people were really sort of slapped by it in lockdown three, and those people like, well, I'm sure Alima won't mind me mentioning his name. Paul was just taking the piss all the time, but I think it was almost pissing some people off because they were like, I've actually like lost lives, or like there's really something bad going on. And I think they're the points that we can embrace and go, okay, there's this position that our lives, which is really fucking tragic. And there's something bad going on. But then I think there does need to be those people in society who are there for people to view and go, okay, I can have a laugh. I can have some positivity in my life. I can kind of take something away from that person and embrace it and change my mood. Because it only takes, like we know today, a laugh or a smile, and something can change your perspective quite quickly.
That's it. And what I mainly do to kind of reset myself when I'm having a freak out or a breakdown, which again is right, it's once a week at least, is I do so much journaling and also self-talk. Like how you speak to yourself, like you need to be speaking to yourself. Or sometimes I'll be cursing myself out. I'll be like, oh, you're an idiot, you can't do it. And then I'm like, would you say this to someone you love? Like, would you speak like this to your mother or like your girlfriend or your best friend? Would you speak like in this manner, someone you love? And you always say no. Mm-hmm. You're always like, so then why are you saying that to yourself?
Yeah.
And so I think that resets me pretty quick, writing down things you're grateful for and being mindful of your self-talk.
I mean, they're massive points. Like, wait, could you do a lot of journaling, don't you?
Yeah, I love journaling. Like, I've always had quite severe anxiety just from when I used to be a swimmer. Like I was always very regimented. It was always drilled in for me from like the age of 12. So journaling and just showing gratitude. It could literally be like, I sit there in the morning with my coffee, I'm like, oh, I'm so grateful for a black coffee. And it could, it doesn't have to be like, it doesn't have to be like a massive thing, does it? It doesn't need to be too intense. It could just be, oh God, like the sun is shining. Oh, my house looks nice today. Like, I think people sometimes think with gratitude, they need to go so far in. And it could be like what you said before. Oh, I'm healthy. I can go to the gym. I can train. Three things you're grateful for right there. And it's just a little bit of just saying them, or like you said, writing them down. Change your perspective.
Yeah. And so to even add to that is, I think it's more beneficial to be grateful for the really small stuff.
Mm.
Like that. That's actually, it shows like you're actually, you know, actively, you know, it's because it's easy to be grateful for the big things that are going well, but it's actually harder to sit down and think and collect your thoughts and say, okay, I'm actually grateful for Wi-Fi. I'm grateful that there's food in my fridge. I'm grateful that, you know, there's nice fresh sheets on my bed.
Yeah.
They're actually like, or even electricity.
Yeah.
Like a clean water. I could go on all day. But, you know, it's those small things that when you actually gather your thoughts. And again, perspective. So this might sound a bit dark, but like this is what I think of, is that there's people living just all across in countries you may never have been to. There's people just living completely different lives who don't have electricity, don't have Wi-Fi. And it's like, it goes really, really deep into that, you know? And so when you actually apply massive perspective to everything that's going on planet Earth, it's crazy.
Yeah, I think what you touched on there is massive, because we've had, I know we spoke to Paul Moore about it. I've got this thing in the back of my diary where, like, if I have those situations where I'm feeling a bit shitty, I feel a bit down, I need something to try and pick me up. A lot of people will prioritize like holidays or big events or big occasions, and they're very difficult to be able to lean towards and do in an instant. So I have something in the back of my diary now since speaking to Paul Moore called the Happy Buffet. And it's things that I can go and do whenever the fuck I want to do them. So whether it be like watching a YouTube video, whether that being going training, going for a walk, going playing on the PS4, watching footy, whatever it may be, it's something that I can do. Like, remember last year I bought
a scooter.
I bought a micro scooter, not like even an electric one, mate. It was like
a proper old school
scooter. And sometimes I used to go and bang my headphones and I'd just go and ride around Manchester for like half an hour on the scooter. And I come back and I felt
jacked out of your mind on the scooter, riding around Manchester. That is some sight.
Yeah, mate, I was riding around past Mumsy, like, God, that's a big 10-year-old in that fucking scooter.
Yeah. The scooter is like bending in the middle. Mate. It's like sparks coming along.
I think we had to bin it in the end, didn't we? You binned it.
Yeah,
you told me to bin it.
But like little things like that you can just recall on really quickly and be able to go to is so powerful in regards to changing how you feel and how your mood is. And that's why those small gratitudes and stuff that people don't even think about on a day-to-day basis can be so powerful to setting you up for your day as well.
Yeah, I love that. The Happy Buffet. I'm going to use that.
I think in regards to today, Robert, this is going to be so beneficial to our listeners and people watching. And I think it'll only be beneficial to those to be able to kind of find where else you are, Rob. So if all listeners today want to find more of Rob Lipsett, where can they find you, mate?
Yeah, so at Rob Lipsett all across the board on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, roblipsett.com, fuelcakes.com if you want to have the best protein pancake of your life. Here's a fun fact, right? When I got the finished samples, I had to send them back because I was like, there's no protein in that. And then they're like, there actually is. And I was like, oh my God, you can't even taste it. And so yeah, fuelcakes.com and gameplan-training.com. If you want to work with me and get absolutely shredded for summer. So that's me. And what I want to say is just, guys, thanks so much for like literally having a chat with me this morning. It's like, this is why I asked to do it in the morning, is because, you know, just having a chat like this, it just sets up your day so well, you know? And that's why like it sucks that we can't all link together and do this in person. But, you know, so times like this, when we're all so isolated, I really appreciate it.
I appreciate your time this morning, the energy that you brought to the podcast. And we still need to try the fuel the pancakes as well.
Oh my God. Here, send me your addresses. Yeah, we're back in stock as of last week. New flavors coming very soon as well. But shoot me your dresses straight after this, and you're getting
yum.
You're getting the finest batch. You're getting the gourmet batch sent out. I would fly over and cook them for you wearing nothing but an apron. But it's not possible right now.
We'll hold you for that one in the future, mate. But on that note as well, for all our listeners, if you are listening or watching this episode, please feel free to tag me, Lucy, Rob, on Instagram or wherever you're watching it, on stories, etc., because we really appreciate it. Please continue to leave reviews on the podcast because we really appreciate that as well. We're currently still running the podcast competition this month, especially through YouTube, since we've recently launched the channel. Have I missed anything? Oh, and also we've got the BBC Podcast Awards next month. We are up one of the categories, so I appreciate people tuning in for that, and you'll be able to vote. I think it's through May, isn't it?
Yeah, I think I get a bit confused. I think it is May, though.
Yeah. So you'll be able to vote for the BBC Podcast Awards that open up next month in the category that we're in. But again, Mr. Roberto Lipset, massively appreciate your time, buddy. Thank you so much this morning. And I'm sure everyone enjoys this episode.
Yeah, thanks a million.